Thank you, Pastor Thomas. It's so good to be with you this morning at Oceanside Church. And I love the name Oceanside. And I can just imagine the beautiful view out there. And it's just great to be here. And we love coming to this church. It's been great to be part of the story for many, many years and watched how things have unfolded. And even today, we're seeing just the fruit of God's faithfulness here among you. Just want to also say, and if Pastor Joseph and Hannah are watching online today, we love you guys, and we honor them, and we're so thankful to God for them. And I just want to say, as a church, you have a great pastor, and you have a great team, and Joseph and the rest of the team today, Christiana and all of you guys are just doing such an awesome job, and we're just so thankful that we can be part of your story this morning. And I know we just want to be sensitive to time. I want to just begin with a question. And it's this: how many of you can relate to a time in your life when it just seemed that life didn't make sense? Perhaps some of you this morning are in one of those seasons right now where perhaps life has taken an unexpected turn. Maybe it's something that's happened at work or in your family, or perhaps it's that medical report that you received just recently, and you're experiencing something that was completely unexpected and unplanned. Circumstances perhaps have dramatically changed in your life, and you might be wondering why is this happening and what's going on. And whether you're here this morning or online today, we all have stories and we're all experiencing something. And for some of you this morning, it might even seem that life is unfair and it just doesn't make sense. And so for a few minutes, we want to talk about what to do when life doesn't make sense. And before we go any further, I just want to introduce and just acknowledge my wife, Anne, who's with me this morning. And in case, and she's actually going to be sharing a little bit with me as well, a little bit later on. But in case you didn't know, and I am just so thankful that this past May the 1st, we were joined together. God brought our stories together in marriage. And so this is my new bride here, and we had a COVID-friendly wedding, and it was just a wonderful time. And God has blessed us with this new season and this new chapter of our lives, and we get to share part of our story with you today. And I want to say, we talk about when life doesn't make sense. Both Ann and I have both experienced the harsh realities of when life doesn't make sense. And I want to just give you a little snapshot. Just over 2 years ago in 2019, my late wife Barb was with me right here at Oceanside. We were sitting right over here. And I was speaking that Sunday, and I was part of the series, and some of you maybe remember, we went through the Ten Commandments, and Pastor Joseph had assigned me one of the messages. And we had a great morning. It was an awesome day together with you. I still remember it very clearly. After the service, we went out for lunch with dear friends Wally and Julie Johnson, and many of you know them as part of this congregation. And we had a great time, and we were excited about just the upcoming weeks, and we were planning to do some camping with our grandkids, which we actually did. Little did we know that Sunday here at Oceanside Church would be the last Sunday that Barb would be with me, that together we would be in a service together. Because within about 3 weeks, she was diagnosed with an undetected tumor that completely took us by surprise and off guard. She was the healthy one in our family. She was always the one helping us pay attention to our health. And Dave, you got to stop eating those bagels. I might even talk about that in a couple of weeks. And To make it short here, within 7 weeks, Jesus took her home. And to say that in that moment, our family was shaken would be an understatement. And I don't know how many times, and I'm sure many of you can relate to this, how many times I said, and I cried out to God, and I said, God, it just doesn't seem fair. Just doesn't make sense. I couldn't get my head around what was happening. We had just started. We were into the early days of early retirement and enjoying the margin in life that we now had that we didn't have in previous years. A little bit of my story, a little bit of Ann's story, just to give a little context of where we're going to go today. 20 years ago, Ann was pastoring alongside her beloved husband, Pat, also in the Comox Valley. I pastored in Comox, and Ann and her husband were pastoring on the other side of town over in Courtney. They were part of a thriving church, and people were coming to know Jesus, and it was a busy time, and they were loving ministry and their family, and the future really seemed bright. When news came that Pat, one of my pastor colleagues in our community, had a terminal illness that eventually would also take his life, and leaving Ann, a young widow in her 40s with three sons, and brokenhearted, confused, and in many ways facing a very uncertain future. This was not the plan. Life just didn't make sense. And there's so much more to our stories. And I want to say also it's a God story. And I've come to appreciate that God never wastes a hurt. But for the sake of time this morning, we want to focus on just one key word and then expand out on a little bit. And it's the word come. 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 And I want to say, whoever you are this morning, and no matter what the circumstances, and Dia, I appreciated your worship this morning because you connected that thought that we're all experiencing different things in our life that, and for some of you today, it just might not make sense. But the invitation of Jesus always is to come. Question this morning is, how shall we come? Well, the first thing I want to say is to come as we really are. And what I mean by that is, don't come with the sanitized version of yourself. Let's not come with the fixed up, got it all together version of ourselves. But we are invited this morning to come with the real and the raw version of where we might happen to be at this moment. And I don't know where you are all at this morning, but for some of you right now, you have also experienced, and maybe you're in this right now, what it means to have your heart broken. Maybe you're experiencing the rawness of grief or some kind of loss. Life has taken that unexpected turn. And you might even be angry at God. I know I felt those feelings. And I know that Anne did, I'm sure, as well. But I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. He said, and it's a familiar passage, it's a simple passage. He said, Jesus said, come unto me, all of you. Not just some of you, but all of you who are weary and burdened. And I will give you rest. Isn't that an awesome invitation this morning? Come in your weariness. Come with whatever is burdening you today. The second come I want to reference right now is to come boldly. Come as we are. Come boldly. In other words, don't hesitate in your coming. Don't hold back. I don't know about you, but sometimes people, it's not uncommon when in those times when life doesn't make sense to actually push God away, to actually run away from God. And I know many people, my years of pastoring, I've seen it happen too many times where people push him away instead of coming. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace in our time of need." So don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Don't push him away. Instead, he invites us to come. I'm going to invite my wife, Anne, to come and join me at this time. Can we give her a welcome? This is actually the first time that we have stood on a platform together like this. And so it's kind of a bit of a historical moment. I just want to say a couple of things in preparation for, because Anne's going to speak for a moment here, that in the last 20 years, Anne has experienced the mercy and the grace of God in so many ways. And time doesn't give us, we don't have time to share all of our story. But in these last 20 years, Anne has been able to help her children launch. She was able to go back to school and get her master's degree. And over the last 10 years, Anne has been serving as the spiritual care director and chaplain at Mount St. Mary Hospital in Victoria. Maybe some of you know the facility. And what's interesting is that it's a job that's in many ways has weaved her personal life experiences and her ministry calling, including walking with hundreds of people through what we're talking about today. Which leads to the third, how shall we come? We come as we are, we come boldly, but the third point we want to share with you, and Anne's going to expand on this one, is to come with our toughest, our deepest, our most difficult questions. When we're crying out to God with our why, and why is this happening, and what's going on, and how long is this going to last? Just doesn't make sense. And God, why? Years ago, as part of Anne's training and her heart, she wrote about 100-page paper. And it was entitled The Prayer of Lament, A Pathway of Hope. And I actually have a copy on the front row here this morning. And Anne, there was something I was really drawn to, and as I was reading this, you said, our questions open up our hearts, allowing the rawness of grief and lament to be released. You went on to say that lament invites us out of our silence. I think that's a problem sometimes, isn't it? We kind of push down what's really going on inside. And you said, our questions need to be honored as an integral passage from sorrow towards hope. And that statement has just resonated with me. And I'm thankful that you get to share a little bit more about that this morning. And maybe there's some helpful thoughts that you can share to bless our friends here today.
It's so good to be with all of you. And I appreciate the opportunity to share alongside Dave on a subject that I am really passionate about. The subject is allowing the realness and the rawness of life to be put into words in a faith-filled, scriptural way.
Amen.
It's good to know that resources are available when we go through the deep waters of life. The prayer of lament is just one of those resources. One thing I've learned about grief, and in those times when life doesn't make sense, we don't just get over loss. Time isn't the healer. Jeremiah 9:20 says, "You can't heal a wound by pretending it's not there." We need to find a way with God's grace to get through, move towards wholeness. It's a very intentional process. It doesn't just happen. Learning to put words into the words to the sorrow that I've experienced has had a profound impact on my life and on those who I have had the privilege of walking with heartache, through their heartache. Hundreds of patients, residents, as well as congregants, I've come alongside them, helping people to articulate the pain. It's often putting into words what's going on in your heart is often the beginning of the journey towards wholeness. And lamenting in a listening community can be a really transformational process. As Dave mentioned, I've gone through a lot of loss, and my losses are different than yours. But we all do experience loss in our lives at different times. The prayer of lament is not a formula prayer. It's a form of prayer. It always starts with a praise. It goes down into the deepest, darkest, hardest. And it ends with a praise. If you could just put up your left hand with me. Lament, the prayer of lament, starts with a praise, articulates the deepest, darkest, hardest, and ends with a praise. Just get in your heart, get in your mind that form. Praise, hard things, praise. It allows, that form allows us never to get stuck in the depth of the pain. You may be in a wonderful place right now where you just kind of feel like doing a little dance and say, "Oh God, you're leading me in a pleasant path." That's a wonderful place to be. Delight in it. Embrace it. Embrace the moments. And then also at the same time, learn this treasure truth of knowing how to lament in a faith-filled scriptural way. You know, to allow myself to lament, I had to sort it out theologically. The difference between complaint that God rebuked the children of Israel for and lament that was an accepted practice. And I came to the fact that complaint is between people with our backs toward God. In Hosea, God rebuked the children of Israel because they were crying on their beds. But not just because they were crying on their beds, but when they cried on their beds, they were not crying unto the Lord. God doesn't mind our tears. He welcomes them. It is internally important, though, where we direct our angst-filled prayers and thoughts. Lament differs from complaint in that it's a dialogue more this way. Complaint is more this way. Lament is more this way. And sometimes collectively it can be this way. People in Scripture ranted and railed at God. "Where are you? Can't you see what they're doing? Why do the wicked prosper? Everyone has turned against me." David in Psalms follows that form of lament often. He models for us how to be real, how to be authentic, how to be full of relationship and trust. You know, sometimes we're fearful that if we really allow ourselves to look at the depth of the pain in our soul, we'll end up in a pit that we won't be able to get out of. Many of you are familiar with Corrie ten Boom, who went through a concentration camp and every kind of betrayal and loss. She said, "There's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." The fact that we can include God into the deepest part of our pain means that we do indeed have a relationship with God. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah articulated all of his unfulfilled expectations to God and the devastation he was experiencing at every level. And through that process, hope was birthed. In the middle of the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, Jeremiah articulated his frustrations, his agony, and then he says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope because of the Lord's great hope, because of the Lord's great love. We are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him." Bringing to voice all of the sorrows allowed for the pivotal turn from despair to hope for the prophet Jeremiah. In the ancient book, Pilgrim's Progress, hopeful and Christian are crossing an unavoidable river to get to the celestial city. And Christian begins to sink. And he cries out to his good friend, Hopeful, "I'm sinking in the deep waters." And Hopeful responds, "Be of good cheer, my brother. I have felt the bottom, and it's good." Hopefully today you can hear the message in this beautiful community of faith where you can support one another in the difficulties of life. No matter what you go through, you can come to God and hear the encouragement, "Be of good cheer, my brother, my sister. I feel the bottom. It's solid ground. You're on a good foundation." As Dave said earlier, come as we are to God. Come boldly. Come with your toughest questions. God hears. We serve the God of hope. My prayer for you is that may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you'll overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Dia and the team to come. We're going to take a couple of moments here as we close this morning. I'm going to invite you just to stand, okay? Thank you, Anne, for those great words. And I didn't share this earlier, but Anne speaks of many losses. In fact, it was only about 6 months before my late wife, Barb, passed away that she lost also one of her sons who was in his 40s, who passed away a few months earlier. And so that's still a recent loss that Anne is dealing with today. He left a wife with five children behind, who was with us just a couple of weeks. They were with us a couple of weeks ago. And so this isn't something that we're sharing today that we haven't experienced. And I know so many of you as well have experienced some kind of loss or some kind of disappointment. Sometime when you've just, it just didn't make sense. But I love that picture that Anne described of praise, the depths of our heart to praise. And he invites us to come. And he welcomes our coming as we are. He welcomes our coming boldly. He welcomes our questions. And let me say, as a community, as a church family, a little bit of a teachable moment. It's so important that you embrace the folks around you in such a way that sometimes we feel awkward when people are going through something. We don't know what to say. That's okay. But we can actually invite them. We can actually help them articulate the deep questions. And we journey together to God, not away. And so I want you just to close your eyes for a moment and maybe just take your hands and lift your hands in a posture of like me right now. Just say, Jesus, I come to you this morning. I come in the rawness of whatever is going on in my life. I come boldly. I come with my questions. And Jesus, we thank you that you've invited us to come with all of our burdens. And thank you for that promise in Lamentations where you said that because of your love, we will not be consumed. Because of your great love, we will not be consumed. We thank you for your faithfulness that is so amazing. And I thank you that Anne and I have both been able to experience your grace and your mercy. And we pray right now for anyone in this room, anyone online today, we pray in Jesus' name that you would overcome them even now with your great love. We pray that this church family would be a healing community for people experiencing those times when life just doesn't make sense. We thank you that you are a God who does make sense. And we can trust you with every part of our lives and our families. We thank you, Father, now. And we pray your blessing over this church, over this congregation, as we are dismissed. We thank you that you go with us and we can trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, everyone. It's been such an honor to be able to share with you today. And we often think about how God has brought our stories together, and it's been more than a love story. It's been a God story. And you know what? The best stories are the God stories. How many would agree this morning? Amen. So bless you all.